Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I'm Adam Kimmelman here with Mike Morial. We are recording this on Thursday, January 9th. It has been way too long since we've done this, but a lot has gone on since last time we were at the mics.
I am so happy to be back. I have my pumpkin spice latte coming up here, Adam. Holy smokes. Are you kidding me? Hey, I'm telling you, though, the past couple of weeks with the World Junior Championship going on, it's been a delight to see these players. These players that have been drafted and the players that are up and coming, many of which were part of the World Junior Championships, which is unusual to see a 17 or 18-year-old representing their country in this tournament.
Yeah, there were a lot more. I mean, we've covered this tournament, we've followed this tournament for a number of years, and we know there's usually a handful of the elite top draft-eligible guys, maybe two, maybe three, amongst all 10 teams. This year, there were a handful of really good, I mean, you saw probably half the top 10, two-thirds of the top 10 in an 11-day span, thanks to NHL Network, TSN in Canada. So you got to really see and understand who these players are and what they're going to do. And we're going to hear more about them when we talk to Craig Button, the TSN director of scouting. He was in Czech Republic for the entire tournament. But, you know, we watched the games. Was there anybody among the draft guys that just jumped off the page from you? I'm assuming Alexi Lafreniere is going to be the top of your list.
Yeah, it was just incredible, the performance he put forth, Adam. I mean, the guy misses two games because of that knee injury. And I got to be honest with you, when I saw him go down with that knee injury, I thought for sure he was going to be out, never mind a couple games. I thought it might be a month, 2 months with the way he went down. But just the fact that he was able to come back and play as well as he did and then earn MVP of that tournament, quite an effort, quite a showing by Alexi Lafreniere. And in my eyes, and I know there were some players, and we've discussed this all, you know, the past couple months, that maybe there are players that could jump up in the 2020 draft that are very close to Lafreniere. But after that performance, Not for me.
No, there's nobody close to him at this point. You watch him as an 18-year-old in a 19-year-old tournament. He didn't just play well, he dominated. He was a top line power play guy. You mentioned the way he came back from the injury. He came back better almost after the injury than he was before, which is remarkable because we all thought he was going to be out for a while. But the guy that I was really kind of enjoyed watching, Tim Stützle from Germany. Obviously, they didn't get a huge run in the tournament. They had to play in the relegation round. But if you're looking for a guy who really kind of opened the eyes of scouts, you know, he's playing in the German league. He's a guy who really, I think, stood out, carried that team in a lot of ways. Moritz Seider, Detroit Red Wings prospect, got a lot of attention there. But Tim Stützle, if you're looking for, you know, an under-the-radar top 10 pick, he's a talented, talented player.
Yeah, and we'll probably discuss this with Craig Button when he comes on, a TSN head scout there. But Stützle was amazing. And to think, Adam, we could have as many as three German-born players drafted in the first round is kind of amazing because in the history of the draft, there's only been three Germans drafted in the first round. So that's quite an accomplishment. And Stützle, as you said, is from the Mannheim program, where also Moritz Seider played at Mannheim too, and now he's playing in the American Hockey League. So Mannheim, that program in general, is really pumping out the prospects for the NHL.
Let's get to more of the top 2020 draft prospects with Craig Button, the TSN Director of Scouting. Craig, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure to join you guys. I missed you over in the Czech Republic during the World Junior Tournament because it's always fun to watch that tournament, but it's even a little more fun to spend it with you guys, so I did miss you over there.
Well, we do love seeing you, and you were over there for the entire time doing the TSN broadcast, and one of the guys that really stood out, obviously, to all of us, to anyone watching, was Alexi Lafreniere. Obviously, everyone had expectations for what he could accomplish in that setting, but he plays five games. He comes back from a really nasty-looking knee injury to win the tournament MVP. Is there anything else more that he could have done to cement his standing as the top prospect in the 2020 draft class?
I really don't think so, Adam. And, you know, when you know that injury, I mean, the way he screamed and you think about those types of plays, you go, how did he come back and play at such a level, you know, just a short time period after? And it was really interesting. I saw Alexi the day after, and he really felt that he was going to be back. He said he was scared when he first heard, when it first happened, but when he got the results of the MRI, he said he was really encouraged. But, you know, let me just take you back a little bit in time and, you know, about Alexi. As a 16-year-old, he played in the IIHF Under-18 Championships, and he dominated it. And that's, as a 2001-born, he was playing against the 2000-borns. And then at the Hlinka-Gretzky tournament in Edmonton, in his age group, he was the best player in that tournament as well when Canada won gold. And so coming to this tournament, like he's right in his wheelhouse age-wise. And to me, I really felt that because he had dominated in these two age groups, that he was more than capable of going there and being a really, really top player. And he ended up being the top player. But, you know, Dale Hunter, one of the things that Dale said, and you guys have seen it from him, he's not just skilled, but he's ultra competitive. And I think when you combine the skill with the will, you have a player that is not only going to be very productive, but he is going to be in every single hard battle in the game. And that's how the great players all have that in them. He certainly does.
Yeah, Alexi's putting together quite a resume. Craig, I think the hardest thing for fans to understand when watching and rooting for players in this tournament is this. Yes, it's an amateur tournament, but this is a hard tournament, especially for underage players who are 17, 18 years old and maybe don't see that prevalent ice time. But, you know, Sweden had two highly regarded A-rated forwards here, Alexander Holtz and Lucas Raymond. I think we can agree they performed well, averaged a little over 11 minutes a night. You got to see them where you were broadcasting that bracket there. What did you think of Holtz and Raymond, you know, in their time for Sweden?
Well, you know, just a little bit of a qualifier, too. You know, Lucas had been ill. He missed 6 weeks of playing time. So, you know, not only getting healthy again, but, you know, trying to regain the strength and, you know, to play at a high-end tournament, as you point out, Mike. You know, with kids, you know, two years older than him in most cases. What I liked about Lucas and Alex was that as the tournament went on, you could just see them getting more comfortable and understanding what the challenges were and what the demands were. And they acquitted themselves very, very well. And Thomas Montan, the coach for Sweden, he also, you know, was trying to work them into. And the good thing for Sweden and for Finland was they played each other on day one of the tournament. So they were in a pool where the challenges might not have been as severe as the one that Canada, USA, Russia was in. But it allowed those players to kind of get their feet wet a little bit and to gain that comfort. And they certainly did. And let's not forget that Alexander Holtz scored the winning goal in overtime on day one versus Finland. But I thought that as time went on with each passing game, that they just got more and more comfortable playing at that level. And those are the things you're looking for. You're looking for that ability to adjust and understand what you have to do. And in some cases, what you can't do that you can do at younger ages. I thought they were both very, very good at the tournament.
Hey, Craig, I want to go back to Canada for a minute. And they had three really top-end draft prospects. Quinton Byfield, he only averaged 840 of ice time. He had one assist. I don't think he got a shift in the gold medal game. Dawson Mercer played 7 minutes a game. Jamie Drysdale averaged a little over 11.5 minutes a game. He had one big minute game of the game. Bowen Byram was sick and he didn't play. How were you able to rate their play? And was their limited ice time more a function of their age in a 19-year-old tournament? Or was just Dale Hunter just didn't have the trust in them? How would you assess their play?
Well, I mean Quentin, as a 17-year-old, now keep in mind, he's born in August. So he's a really, really young player. He just turned 17. And so, quite frankly, he wasn't ready to play at that level in a significant manner. And that's nothing against Quentin. Quentin showed a little bit of his ability. But, you know, again, it's a really demanding tournament, and he just wasn't – he's not ready to play at that level. And, you know, Dawson, you know, a late birthday, born in the latter part of 01. And Dale told me, he said, I really wanted to play him more, but he had players that he thought were a little bit ahead of him. And he thought when he did play him, he played really well. Jamie Drysdale, the way Dale used his defense was I think, really, really solid, you know, in terms of where he put players into positions where they could handle it. And Jamie Drysdale got better as the tournament went on. And, you know, his intelligence, his skill level really shone at the tournament. But, again, when you're 17 years old and you're playing, and there's a physical maturity aspect to this tournament. And, you know, when you're playing and you're not able to hold your own strength-wise, you know, 17 to 19 can be a pretty significant difference. And I thought Dale did a fantastic job of putting players into positions that they could handle, where they weren't overwhelmed and where their confidence wasn't affected. And in the case of Quentin, you know, Dale doesn't want to leave a player on the bench for an entire game, but that's what the gold medal game dictated. And, you know, he also knew that Quentin is an exceptional talent, but at that particular point in time in that game, he wasn't ready to help the team. And, you know, that's those are some of the tough decisions that a coach is left to make, but they're necessary ones. And certainly it doesn't, in my view, it doesn't diminish Quentin Byfield's standing as an elite prospect, not in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, I think the experience will serve him well to watch how other players handled it. And, you know, he worked and was really, really solid. And, you know, it's interesting. I just want to just add this in really quick. To a man on the coaching staff and the training staff, they all said to me at different times, they said the best teammate there was Olivier Rodrigue, who was the third goalie. They said he was unbelievable as a teammate. And they said they were all good, but they just said he just was, you know, never played a game, you know, certainly wanted to get in there and show what he could do. But they said he was phenomenal too, and I don't think it was any different with Quentin or Dawson in that regard.
That's a good transition here, Greg, because Spencer Knight, who was the third goalie at the 2019 tournament, a lot of the U.S. players said for that team he was a great teammate and what he was doing, and he didn't play a minute either. But I think everyone would agree the U.S. team kind of underachieved a little bit here, finished sixth overall, fifth among the 10 countries in scoring efficiency, fourth in power play, 10th in penalty killing. There was a lot of firepower on that roster, Craig, and while I know there are a lot of first-year junior championship performers on the roster, even those players had plenty of international experience and against high-caliber competition, so maybe we expected a little more. But my question is regarding the lone 2020 draft eligible on the roster there, Parker Ford of Providence in Hockey East. You know, a real versatile kid, passed over in the draft last season. He played mostly wing at Sioux City in the United States Hockey League. He's been playing a lot of center in a top six role for Providence and head coach Nate Lehman this year. I thought he made a nice representation of himself in a bottom six role. Did you like what you saw from Parker Ford?
Well, I think that he really acquitted himself quite well. And your phrase is one that I think really applies to Parker with respect to his ability to get in there and play and show what he's capable of. And, you know, but he's also an example of when you're 19 years old, you know, how much better equipped you are from a maturity point of view, physical and mentally and emotionally. Now, he's played in the USHL, he's played at college and at Providence, so that really helps him. And I think that when you're playing in these types of tournaments, we talked earlier about Dale and how he used Quentin and how he used Dawson and how he used them sparingly. But, you know, on the other hand, with Parker, because he's a little bit more mature, because he's a little bit more adept and able to handle different situations, Scott Sandlin felt very confident in being able to use him. And I think that when Parker got out there from the shot blocking to the into the competitive battles for the puck and really trying to do whatever he could to help the team, I think it was a very solid performance by Parker Ford at the World Junior Hockey Championships.
Craig, Tim Stutzel, John Jason Paterka, Lucas Reichel from Germany, all were really solid performers at the tournament. Can all three guys possibly be first-round picks? And what does this say about the state of German hockey when it comes to development? Because they've had four first-round picks ever, and now you could have three in one draft.
Well, I think that they're all first-round picks. I think they're that good. And in the case of Stutzel and Reichel, they're already performing at a high level as 17-year-olds in the German Pro League, in the DEL. So there's no, in my view, and Paterka watching them, I mean, they were really good players for Germany, and I think they're first-round draft picks. And it'll be the third consecutive year that there's a German drafted in the first round. Dominic Bock two seasons ago, Mo Sider last year, and now one, two, three. And my belief is that all three of them are first-rounders. So that speaks real significantly about German hockey. You know, we've seen over the years that when you have really good athletes take up a particular sport, they're going to be really good in that sport. And so the fact is that these players are picking up hockey, and when instead of soccer or track and field or some other prominent sport in Germany, So when they're playing hockey and they're such good athletes, they're going to be good hockey players. And these three young men were really significant for Germany. They're going to remain in the A pool next year in Red Deer and Edmonton. But certainly, when you look at where German hockey is, Leon Draisaitl, a 50-goal scorer, one of the top scorers in the NHL, you know, you start to hopefully have some traction with younger players that say, hey, I want to play hockey. It looks exciting, and let's get going in that regard. We saw it with the Southern expansion in the U.S. with, you know, Florida, Tampa Bay, Dallas, Anaheim, you know, Arizona. All those places ended up with NHL hockey, and now, you know, having players coming from those areas, and, you know, you don't have to look very far to see how good those players have been from the different areas, and, you know, the future of the NHL looks very bright because of players from that area. Hopefully that'll be the case with Germany.
Just individually, what stood out about Stützle, Peterka, and Reichel when you watched them play? What skills kind of jumped off the page for each guy?
Well, you know, Tim Stützle's a really good player. And, you know, when you watch him again and you watch him against some really good competition, you knew he was good. I didn't think I knew how good he was. I think he's clear-cut top five player in the NHL draft. I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, and I'll say this to you guys right now. We could be looking at a player like Tim Stützle that in a couple of years' time could be looking at him like Elias Pettersson. Like, you know, when Elias went fifth overall, there wasn't a lot of talk about him being the best player in that draft. That was the Nico Nolan draft. Well, Tim Stützle could be in that same conversation because he's that good. He's and not only is he skilled, he's exciting. He's an exciting player. He reminds me a lot of Patrick Kane. Well, Patrick Kane went first overall. He's going to the Hall of Fame. So we know, you know, what that comparison means. And it's more in the type of player he is, but skilled and exciting. You know, Lucas Reichel is a smart player. He's a playmaker. He gets into the right spots on the ice and really understands how to make the puck do a lot of the work. So, you know, the puck is moving. He gets into the right spot. He doesn't have the same type of dynamic skating ability of a Tim Stützle, but he's got brain power. And he's got really good hands to be able to make those plays. And Peterka, who, you know, might have been the third guy out of that group that you're really watching and trying to get a better feel for, like, he's kind of a cross between Stützle and Reichel in terms of he's a good skater, he's got a good head, very, very smart in terms of his ability to make plays, and not only for himself, but to create opportunities for others. And what I kept saying to myself was, you're 17 years old. How much more growth do they have in their game? And I would say for all three of them, they all have tremendous potential for further growth in their games because they have the basic qualities of skill and competitiveness and hockey sense, and it's really good, and I think it can only get better as they mature and get older.
Craig, I was hoping to get a little insight into a couple players from the host country, Czech Republic. Jana Mešák, left-handed center, plays you know, a real smart game, good hands, quick release, had 2 points, 8 shots, averaged a little over 14 minutes in 5 games. And then the Czech defenseman, Šimon Kubíček, a goal, 2 assists, averaged a little over 23 minutes, 5 games. Nice size for this kid, too, 6'2", about 187. I know he plays for Seattle. It looks like Mešák is going to Hamilton to play for the Bulldogs in the OHL. Did you get a good chance, a good glimpse of both of those players, and what did you think?
You know, I've seen those players over a period of time here at different, obviously, Kubíček in the Western Hockey League and Mešák at different events. He's played up in his age group, so he's always you get double opportunity when they play as underagers up in an age group. But you know, Mešák, I think that he's got skill, and you know, coming to Hamilton, I think he just wants to, you know, challenge himself. And, you know, let's not forget that Jan Janik, unfortunately, is out for the year with a knee injury, the Arizona Coyotes third-round draft pick, and a dominant player in the OHL. So there's a familiarity when Mešák can say to Jan, you know, what's Hamilton like? I mean, Stevie Steos is the president there. and just a superb leader and human being. So, you know, they know he's going to be taken care of, and there's a lot of skill there. There's some good players, which will allow Meshack to take his game to a higher level, but he'll also be able to demonstrate it. I mean, quite frankly, and it's not fair to the kids, but, you know, you don't get a lot of viewings on these kids in the Czech League. And, you know, he's playing in the extra league. You know, your ice time is inconsistent with how much you play. He's going to be a frontline player for Hamilton, and I think that'll really help him show, you know, how good he is. I don't think there's any question that he's a top two-round draft pick in the NHL draft, in the upcoming NHL draft. Mm-hmm. So this will give him a chance to really show, you know how high he should go. And I think for NHL scouts, they're pleased to be able to go to Hamilton and watch him. Kubíšek is a defenseman that I think needs a little more time. I mean, he's got to round out his skating a little bit and improve his quickness and his agility, but he's good with the puck. He's a competitor, and he's a longer range projection. But certainly, when you go to that tournament and you do as well as he did against older players, and now you come back, I think two things will happen for Simon. Number one, he'll come back with a lot more confidence and assuredness, knowing that he could perform quite well in his age group on a world stage. And now, the things he's got to work on, he's always going to work on them because that's the type of kid he is. But now we can come back and start applying them, and I think that bodes well for him. I don't think there's any question he's going to be drafted. How high will be determined, but I don't think there's any question both those young men are going to be drafted.
Okay, so Russia goalie Yaroslav Askarov, I know you think very highly of him. We all do. He's a projected top 10, top 15 in this coming draft. I know you've gone on public record saying he reminds you a little of Carey Price and what he's been capable of doing. So he's pulled twice, Craig. Finished with a 2.71 goals against, pretty good. 8.76 save percentage in five games. A fabulous prospect here. But did this performance in any way temper your expectations of him possibly going top 10?
Not for me. I mean, listen, he was unsettled in the net, and that's a natural byproduct of being a 17-year-old player on a bigger stage. I can tell you this: I can't think of a 17-year-old goalie that's played in this tournament. I went through it. I'm talking about on the key teams. I mean, Spencer Knight was 17 last year. He never played.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, and not only play, he was their guy, all you have to do is understand that they started him in the semifinal game, so they had every confidence that he was their guy. Now, you know, you got to take a lot of different what I call data points when you're evaluating a player. So when I watched Yaroslav play there, and I saw him play a number of games. Like, I mean, I know the game against Canada, which I did not see. He was not great. I saw the highlights and looked at some of the tape. But then I saw him three other games, and he was okay. He was good. I thought that he settled in. There are two other games before the Sweden game when he didn't. But you know, that's all a byproduct of being young. But like, just because he struggled, does that mean that he doesn't have the skill, the technique, the composure? All I know is this: if you think about him, and he wasn't a key figure on this team, but he's played in six international events since August 2018. Six. He's got six medals. Six medals. That's at the 16 and 17-year age group. He's dominated in his age group. And, yes, you go to the tournament, and I know that somebody such as myself starts singing the praises of him, and expectations get high, and now he doesn't perform to the same level. And certainly I tell people, and I told a number of people over there, you can only go by what you see. And that's understandable. And yes, he was. He was a little bit uncertain. He was a little bit uneasy in the net. But now the key for me is the next time. How's he going to be? I know, talking to a number of NHL scouts, they saw him in November, and they all said, geez, he was just as brilliant. And now the question was, what happened? I'll tell you what I think happened. I think that it was just a case of, hey, he wasn't comfortable. The game got going real quick, especially against the Czechs on day one. And, you know, that now all of a sudden becomes a little bit of a challenge for him. But I'm pretty confident. I know the kid. pretty confident he's going to come back better because of it. And I'll be straightforward with you. I still have no doubt he's the best goalie I've seen since Carey Price entering a draft. And I still think he's going to be a star in the NHL.
Craig, there's two other goalies from the tournament I want to ask you about. Nico Daws from Canada plays in Guelph in the Ontario League. Samuel Halabai plays for Sherbrooke in the Quebec League. He was the starting goalie for Slovakia. How would you rate their play? They had, you know, Daws started the tournament for Canada, you know, struggled in the Russia game, never saw the net again. Halabai, you know, it was a tough draw for his team. How would you rate their play?
Well, you know, Nico has really taken his game and perform, his level of performance up in Guelph this year. And certainly, I mean, that was the guy that Dale Hunter and the coaching staff really felt strongly about, you know, starting the tournament. But I think Nico was much like Yaroslav. You know, you get into the tournament, the shooters are better, the play is quicker, it's more coordinated. You have to just be that much sharper. And, you know, I think Nico struggled in that regard. But does that mean he's not a really good, solid NHL prospect? I think that he's got a lot of qualities that could allow him to be a real solid NHL goaltender. And, yeah, he struggled at that tournament. But, you know, when we look at goaltenders struggling at different points, whether it be tournament play when they're teenagers, whether it be NHL play or whatnot, you know, I think you have to factor in a lot of different things. And for Nico Daws, he had never been on the radar for Hockey Canada. Now, not only is he on the radar, he's the starting goalie at the World Junior Championships. That's pretty heady stuff for a young player. And I think Nico will come out of it just like Askarov for the better. Samuel Halabai, you know, I thought that Slovakia was a team that was going to, if they were going to make any kind of waves or a dent in the tournament, it was going to be on the back of Samuel Halabai. Their team was so poor. And you know what? You could have put two goalies in the net. It wouldn't have made a difference. So Samuel playing in Sherbrooke, I think, has been really solid. And he had some really good moments at the World Junior Hockey Championships. The problem is that when you're facing 15 grade A scoring chances every single game, you just can't be that good of a – your numbers are not going to reflect positively, and I think that that's what happened for Samuel. But when I watch Samuel play in the net, I see a goaltender that has a really good skill level, really good technical ability, and I think he's definitely somebody that's going to get drafted in this coming draft.
Hey, Craig, real quick before we wrap it up here, Atu Ratti of Finland, 17 years old, represents his team. I know we always kind of look ahead a little bit here and on NHL draft class, and 2021 forward, he was exciting to watch, I got to admit. Scored some big goals for Finland, looked to be excited playing with his brother there. Aku, what did you think of Atu and his performance?
Well, you know, the line was Santo Rampa, Atu Ratti, and Aku Ratti, and I nicknamed them the Rah 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 line.
So nice.
I want to take full credit for that. But,
absolutely.
There you go.
You know, but I'll be straightforward. I haven't seen a better player for the 2021 draft than Atu Ratti. Hmm. And much like when I was talking about Lucas Raymond and Alexander Holtz, you know, finding their way into the tournament, and, you know, the same thing happened with Atu, and when Rasmus Tuppari got hurt, you know, Raimo Helminen, I thought, did a really, really nice job of not putting Atu Ratti into a spot where he'd be overwhelmed, but into an area where he could perform and handle the challenges, you know, commensurate with where he's at in his development. And I thought Atu did an exceptional job. There's a couple of things that really stand out for me as he went through the tournament in the games. He's really, really confident. Like, you know, you can see that he's sure of himself. And you know, that's not easy to do. And he did that. And he's really, I mean, the skill level's excellent, but he's really competitive. And he doesn't take a back seat to anybody. He might not be physically strong enough right now to handle some of the challenges, but just give him another year or 18 months, and he's going to be a player that's going to be a really, really tough player to handle one-on-one. And next year at the World Junior Hockey Championships, I fully expect Atu Ratti to be a real frontline player for Finland and in the entire tournament.
Craig Button, Director of Scouting for TSN, thank you very much for joining us today on NHL Draft Class.
It's always my pleasure to join you guys, and can't wait to see you next.
Mike, of all the great things that Craig said, and he has more information than most other people, what stood out to you?
You know, I just like what he was saying about the Russian goalie, Yaroslav Askarov, Adam. You know, when you watched him play, and I think a lot of people, you know, watching the tournament that were maybe new to the tournament or new to just witnessing draft-eligible kids in the tournament might look at him and say, geez, you know, he really didn't have a great tournament, pulled twice. You know, the save percentage wasn't maybe we're an elite goaltender where you would expect it to be. But as Craig said, I mean, you know, this is a tournament for 19-year-olds. We know that. He's a 17-year-old kid doing his best. And the other thing I wanted to add, too, was the fact that Russian coach, you know, Valerie Bragin, he's not the one, and you know this, Adam, he's not the one to play draft-eligible kids a lot. They don't get a lot of ice time under
him. No, he has a different approach than most other guys. And the fact that Askarov, for all the hype that he had, even started that first game for Canada, for Russia, was a little bit of a surprise because you're right.
Yep.
He doesn't give younger guys that much ice time. And he put Askarov out there, and you know, he has a different approach, and he will yank guys. He will switch lines. He will bench guys. He'll move guys around. And I think that also kind of affected Askarov because you watch him, he had happy feet, right? That's when I saw him, the feet were always, and Ray Ferraro pointed this out on the TSN broadcast a lot, his feet were never really set.
Mm-hmm.
All that being said, Askarov's still the best goaltending prospect any of us have seen. He's farther along than Andre Vasilevsky was at the same age. He's farther along. You know, Jack Campbell was the last one to go in the top 10. He's farther along, I think, than Campbell was at this age. You know, pick the goalie of the last 10 years. He might even be farther along than Spencer Knight was, and we know how good Knight's going to be. So anybody who doubts, like you heard Craig say it, six tournaments, six medals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every scout you talk to said they've watched Askarov. He is phenomenal. He hit a rut, basically, right? He hit a rut at the highest level he's ever played. Is that a knock on him? He had a bad tournament. It happens. He's still top five, top 10 talent.
He's rock solid. And I think, you know, it's interesting about that Spencer Knight comparison that you just made because, you know, I like Spencer Knight a lot. And I think he performed well for the United States in this tournament despite their sixth place finish. So in my eyes, it's going to be interesting where Askarov goes in this draft because I think, Adam, what we're seeing too is, you know, goaltending is a real big position in this league. And if you have depth at certain positions, why not draft that goalie early in the draft to get him going on his development path, get him going if he wants to stay in Russia a year, 2 years, and then come to the American Hockey League to continue his development with the NHL franchise that drafted him? Because I think it's a huge bonus, a huge plus, and that's the one reason why I can see a team drafting him in top 10.
Well, we're going to see a lot of guys coming up here that are going to be real top end prospects coming up in the next week. We are both going to Hamilton, Ontario for the CHL Top Prospects game.
Yes.
40 of the top draft eligible guys from the Canadian Hockey League will be there on the ice. We'll be up there. We'll have a show. We're going to talk to some of the top guys. You'll be able to hear them on NHL Draft Class. Mike, you are also going to the USA Hockey BioSteel All-American game out in Plymouth on January 20th. Different format for that All-American game this year.
Different format. We're going to have, instead of it just being the top United States-born players all grouped together and split into two teams, this year we're going to have the National Team Development Program U18 team against the United States Hockey League All-Stars. So it should be a real fun game.
And it's going to be neat. Mike Knuble, former NHL All-Star. I think he won a Stanley Cup with the Red Wings the 1 year early in his career. He is going to be coaching one team. Three-time Stanley Cup champion Scott Gomez with the New Jersey Devils is going to be coaching Team USHL. So that'll be fun. And we're going to get to see in person and bring it back to you on NHL Draft Class all the information about some of the top prospects coming up here in the 2020 draft.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be fun going down to Hamilton, Ontario to get a glimpse of the prospects for the 2020 draft, get to know them a little better, their lives, what it's like on the ice and off the ice.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. And we'll have it here on NHL Draft Class, which you can subscribe to for free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And a reminder to check out all the other good shows on the NHL Podcast Network, NHL Executive Suite, NHL Fantasy on Ice, NHL at the Rink, Puck Culture with NHL Network's Jackie Redmond. For Mike Morial,
always a pleasure.
I'm Adam Kimmelman. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to rate and review Until next week, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.